Okay, now we are going to comment on the latest articles published in April of 2016, of course. Arthurs, which ones would you like to comment?
With such introduction, the first one I would want to comment is, I lost my mouse, here it is. How to make your WordPress posts more attractive with the Visualizer Charts and Graphs plugin. It's an article by Elman Dilaverg-Heath from Bosnia and Herzegovina. I think she had also the previously an article about WordPress theme plugin. And this one describes more about how you can integrate the charts in your WordPress. So basically, if you have a data that you want to display, you could display it, of course, in the table. But if you want, there are only numeric values and you want to be able to more visually compare them, that it's always better to use charts. And what Alpha provides is a specific plugin. I don't see a plugin name right now, but you can download it from Themeisle.
Yeah.
It's a Visualizer. Yeah, it's called Visualizer. And basically, after inserting this plugin, you would have access to the different graph types. So you can choose which graph you want. You can upload your CSV file with data and configure different other settings like colors and fonts and embed it in your website quite easily. So in case you're using WordPress plugin and need to display some data, why not display it with the Visualizer plugin, which would be more which would be better interpreted by your visitors if they can need to compare values, for example.
That's a cool plugin. Many people use WordPress, so there are plugins for everything. And certainly, if when you want to display nice charts, you don't want to use a separate program. This plugin is very nice.
True. And the next article I wanted to comment is how to effectively prepare for the technical interview and coding challenge. And the author is a very familiar face. I'm looking at it right now. It's Manuel Lemos from Portugal. That's an interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I was born, not necessarily where I live.
Okay. While you're not earning any innovation award points for countries, it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, but you can choose the actual country. If you have moved to another country and you want to rank for your country, home country, you can actually choose.
So usually when you apply to a job, you would have some kind of interview where they ask you about some skills and give you some tasks. And this article is mostly about preparing for these tasks that you could be handled in different companies. I usually hate such tasks. But, some companies still have them. And the first suggestion is to anticipate what you will need and practice the specific skills. It depends on the job you're applying to and the company you're applying to. Most probably you can find many information online about specific companies and specific job title that you're applying and prepare to it. Like I said, review the company's past interview questions. So there are many other developers who apply to the same job which probably shared some questions and the experiences on the other side, like Quora, for example. Elevator pitch, of course, also is the one thing that you should prepare when talking about yourself and why would you be a fit for this specific job.
Yeah, that's very important when you are applying to jobs that have many candidates. Why you?
you need to stand out and explain why. And if you have any experience in this specific field, then yes, if you are passionate, then show that you are passionate about it. And yeah, don't practice on your computer in most interviews. They don't use computer to test you, but mostly on a paper, on a whiteboard, because they don't want to see the actual knowledge of some programming language that you use, but rather see if you can think logically, if you understand the constructions, like loops and stuff like that. So I remember it from university. Many times we just were coding on paper, which at that time seemed disappointing. Why should we do that? But in fact, it would really change the way of how you think about it, because when you write, it's not so hard to refactor the code then, so you need to think beforehand what you write.
Yes, and it's not just the code, it's also the actual interview that you need to practice, and not in front of a computer, maybe in front of other people.
Yeah. And get a talent advocate. So I assume there are companies that would help you prepare for interviews and guide you through this process, and so hire this one of them, right? Maybe you can explain more once they do, because you would know better.
Yes, actually this article was promoted by Hired. They gave all the tips that would be interesting to share, and they also have a team of people dedicated to actually connect companies with candidates. So that's what they mean by having a talent advocate. So you can go there and actually have them to eventually find a job for you, probably a better paid job than you would find by yourself.
Yeah, that sounds interesting, but probably you're right, they have contacts and catalogs and know your specific skills.
Yeah,
they could find something more suitable for you. Okay, and the next article comment is 10 aspects on which Bitbucket is better than GitHub. And full disclosure, I like GitHub more than Bitbucket, so it would be interesting to dissect this article, but probably because of the use cases.
You can always write an article to explain your points of view.
Okay, and this article was written by Samuel Adeshina from Nigeria, and here are his 10 points why Bitbucket is better. Oh, free unlimited private repositories. Yeah, that's the only reason why I'm still using Bitbucket for some of my work that I'm not yet ready to share with others or want to keep private, because GitHub does not offer any free private repositories. They have changed some policies that now you can have teams and paying per members with unlimited private repositories or stuff like that, but still you need to pay at least something in GitHub to get these private repositories. Mercurial support. So I'm kind of switched to Git and using Git on both ends, but if someone uses Mercurial, then Bitbucket also supports that. That's true. That would be a good point. Importing repositories. So I actually have not specifically did anything like that. I needed once to convert Mercurial repository to Git so I could publish it on GitHub and preserve all the commit history. And while Bitbucket itself did not provide such functionality, it provided some tutorials, articles, which were straightforward and could be possible to do that. So maybe in collaborating with other repositories, Bitbucket would be better than GitHub, because as the name states, it's all about the Git. And more advanced and integrated issue tracking system. True, while GitHub's is more like form with answered and unanswered questions and some tagging, then a Bitbucket system probably would be more similar to normal issue tracking system with the states, assignees, and stuff like that. But I would not say that GitHub is falling too behind, because it's actually also quite well. Multiple authentication methods. Having a GitHub account, a Bitbucket account directly, so I don't know much about that, but probably I think GitHub also can authenticate with some other outside websites like Google ID, for example, but not sure really.
Well, I did not find that last time that I looked at it, but well, as you said, since you already have an account, you probably just log in and forget the rest. But anyway, they are Bitbucket is actually phasing out several methods and probably only leaving Google accounts. I'm not sure, maybe for security reasons. But they also have a LDAP integration. If you are in a company that uses Microsoft Active Directory, which is LDAP, you can integrate it, and you don't have to recreate accounts when you already have accounts in your company.
True.
That's another advantage below.
Yeah. Jira integration, yes, that's also, of course, because Bitbucket is made by Atlassian, and Jira is made by Atlassian, so they have a common integration. And right now we have an open source software in GitHub, and we are using Jira, and it's really hard to synchronize them, synchronize the issues, and the issues were resolved. So it's almost impossible to do it with GitHub right now, and it's really hard. Right. So probably it's a good point then about using Bitbucket specifically. But we are mostly using GitHub for the community that is already there, because GitHub is more open source centric community rather than Bitbucket. Free licenses for students and educators. Actually, GitHub provides them also. I think there are specific packages for students when you can also have private repositories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cool integration with.
I'm not a student for decades. I don't know what is that.
I'm a little less than that, but when I was a student, they didn't have any initiatives, but I remember that now they do. Full integration with LDAP, all that, as you said, allows you to integrate. Yeah, for sure, that would provide much more flexibility for enterprise companies. A nicer dashboard-based user interface. Well, I can't really agree to that. I like dashboards. I like the pages in GitHub much more, and the information I found there, the downloads, the commit histories, all the visualizations they have there. I like it much more than the Bitbucket.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's a personal opinion. It's difficult to have everybody agree on something that is more personal. If you start using something, you get used to it, and probably something that would be better if you started it, you don't recognize better because you had to learn something new. But it's not of a difference.
True. And probably, as you said, someone could write an article about GitHub comparing to Bitbucket. For example, GitHub have many other features like GitHub pages that you can automatically create to accessible websites, set websites and stuff like that. So both of them have nice features, and both of them like some features that others have. And you should use the one on purpose that you need, mainly if it's open source. Then most probably it would be GitHub. If closed source, most probably it would be Bitbucket, or what versioning system you're using and stuff like that.
Yeah, so when you want, you are invited to write
I will consider it, okay, I think that's all on my part.
Okay, on my behalf, also like to comment on the remaining articles of the month, and starting precisely on a tutorial how to convert HTML to PDF using PHP. This is an article of the blog of the package HTML to PDF WebKit by Dave Smith that mentioned the Innovation Award and also regarding the certificates. And basically, this article tells about how we used to do it, which is basically what you mentioned before, that in the past you would use some PHP libraries to actually generate the PDF. But as the web page standards evolve, sometimes it's hard to map certain features that you are used to HTML with the way objects are defined and created on the pages. So it's hard to make the PDF version closer to the version. So the what Dave Smith mentions in this article is that nowadays with the newer features of HTML5 and CSS3 browsers tend to implement more advanced features than the browsers actually then the it would be easy to implement with regular PDF libraries. It's really hard to keep up with the standards. Basically, you have to replicate the functionality of a browser. And that is why using a web standard that is keeping up with the browser's evolution is convenient. Of course, this API is paid, but it is free if you want to use not many PDF documents. I think like 100 per month. If you want to use more, it's not expensive, like $10 a month or something. It depends on your purposes, and it is interesting. And just to mention again that I'm using this API to actually generate the certificates for the PHP Innovation Award and JavaScript Innovation Award, and it was a big time saver. I could not find myself converting the certificates, which were defined with a HTML template, to convert them to PDF. And I don't know. You tell me if how do you like the certificates? Do they look nice?
Yeah, they look like real professional certificates from the courses or university.
Because many thousands of dollars were spent. actually, the template that was used was paid to Roberto Halleman, a fair amount of money that we agreed. And from then on, it was a matter of adjusting a few things, insert the names and everything that changed in the template, and it looked nice. I have not printed any certificate to see how it looks, but I expect many developers use it. So regarding this article, it is interesting because it is related. And the only thing that it mentions about the future is that the HTML will continue to evolve, and so this API will continue to evolve, and you have to balance the benefits of using an API or using some library for your projects. So moving on, the next article that we are going to mention is actually another from Dave Smith, but this time talking about an extension that exists for Microsoft Visual Studio. If you are using Windows, you can even use the I think it's the community edition for free of the Microsoft Visual Studio, and use this extension to support PHP specific features, because the Visual Studio does not come with PHP support. And this extension is developed by DevSense, which is one of several companies that are sponsoring the Innovation Award. And Dave Smith wrote this article. It's actually the first part, just covers basic editing features like highlighting, code completion, code folding, indenting, well, all the basics that you find in many other IDEs. So there are paid IDEs, there are some free IDEs, some are better than others, and this extension, I think it's free for a period. Then you can you need to decide if you want to use the commercial version, and so it is interesting. And there will be other parts that Dave is working on to explain other features like debugging, which is usually a big reason why you use an IDE. So if you are using Windows and Microsoft, like Microsoft Visual Studio, you can benefit from the support that it has for other languages like JavaScript, which is the most common that web developers need. So this article is interesting as well. You may want to pay attention to the following parts when it talks about other features like debugging. So moving on to another article, this time the third part of a series that was written by Atif Shah Qureshi, and it talks about the changes and the new things in PHP 7. And the first part was more on backwards incompatible changes. The second part was on new features. So the third part is changed functions. Changed and new functions. It covers lots of functions. I'm not going to review all of them here. Actually, this article is greatly inspired on a list that of changes that is on the PHP manual, but here it gives some examples and explains why certain features are interesting. But in this case, it's just functions, new or changed functions. So you may want to take a look as well. Pay attention to the following parts. I think there are two more parts on this series. So great job for the Piatif, and I hope you appreciate and use these articles to learn more what you can expect from PHP 7. So basically, with this, we have reached the end of this podcast, and on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.